everyone. My name is Beth Belo, and you're listening to the debut episode of the new podcast, The Introvert Entrepreneur. For the next 25 minutes, we're going to cover a lot of ground, including how this show is going to support you in creating your best life and business. Here's what we're going to talk about during this first episode. If you're wondering if you're an introvert, I'm going to give you a quick test that will tell you more about if you're an introvert or an extrovert, or in less technical language, an innie or an outie. Then, I'll share more information about what you can expect from future episodes of The Introvert Entrepreneur. And, if you have to network in order to grow your business, you'll want to listen all the way to the end. I'll be spending the last 15 minutes sharing some valuable tips to help introverts network with ease and authenticity. Before we get started with all of that, I'd like to introduce you to you. If you're listening to this, you are most likely an introvert who has your own business, or you're thinking about starting one. You are not entirely sure how being an introvert can be a strength. After all, if networking, selling yourself, and placing yourself in the center of attention doesn't come naturally, isn't your introversion actually a weakness? And while we're at it, what about being more than a little uncomfortable with taking public risks, or expressing your ideas and thoughts, out loud, on the spot, in the center, and with strangers? You can do it, and do it well. At the same time, you know you want to strengthen your skills, challenge yourself, and increase your awareness of what works for you and what doesn't. As introverts, we have plenty of famous company. Consider these big-time introverts, just to name a few. Al Gore, Barbara Walters, Meryl Streep, Harrison Ford, Christina Aguilera, Steven Spielberg, Michael Jordan, and Bill Gates. While they're not all entrepreneurs, they are certainly examples of people who have demonstrated what it takes to be a successful entrepreneur. They've stepped out into the spotlight, they've claimed a passion, and they've put a stake in the ground and made big things happen in the world. And there's at least one more thing they have in common with entrepreneurs. There is absolutely nothing cookie-cutter about their path. My own long and winding road included training as a classical musician. I moved on from college to become a nonprofit professional, working in a variety of types of nonprofits and positions. And in the past 2.5 years, I have worked to become a certified professional coach. I've always had an entrepreneurial spirit from the time I was 6 years old and making plans to open Beth's Beauty Bar. My guess is that you have a similar story somewhere in your childhood memories. As an entrepreneur, I love creating something where there was once nothing, using all of my abilities to make a business happen, and stretching myself to learn new skills and meet new and interesting people. And as my own business has evolved, I've learned that I love working with entrepreneurs and introverts. If you are both, you know that you have unique talents and challenges that both move you forward and hold you back. We're here to explore what makes an introvert tick and how we can succeed in an extroverted world. So let's dive in and get started by clarifying what it means to be an introvert. First, let's review what many people believe about introverts. When you ask them what they know about introverts, they'll say that we are painfully shy or have low self-esteem, that we don't have much self-confidence, that we have little to no social skills, that we're afraid of people, and that we're loners. If you're an introvert, you know that those are some pretty big misunderstandings, because here's what's actually true. It was Carl Jung who coined and popularized the word introvert to refer to people whose motives and actions are directed inward. Introverts tend to be preoccupied with their own thoughts and feelings and prefer to minimize their contact with other people. According to the popular Myers-Briggs assessment tool, an introvert derives energy from his or her internal world of emotions and ideas, while an extrovert draws from the outside world of people and activities for their energy. So in short, introverts gain energy from solitude and drain energy from too much social interaction. We can be the life of the party, especially if it's a small party. And when the party's over, we're ready to go home, whereas extroverts are often on to the next event. And in reality, all of us demonstrate traits of both introverts and extroverts. One is usually dominant over the other, and that is usually the one we identify with, and it reflects how we show up in the world. So being clear about which way you lean helps you better understand how you work, how you relate to other people, how you respond to different situations, and in general, how you live in the world. It's not meant to put a label on you or put you in a box. The truth is that you may shift in different situations or at different ages, being more introverted or being more extroverted. People have told me that they were more extroverted when they were young, and as they grow older, they prefer to have more alone time. Since extroversion and introversion can coexist inside all of us, you might not be sure which one is more present for you. So to help get us some clarity, I'm going to give you a brief quiz. If you're wondering if you're an introvert or have predominantly introverted personality traits, think about how you'd respond to the following statements, adapted from The Introvert Advantage by Marty Olson Laney. Your responses will help you discover whether you tend towards being an introvert or an extrovert. I suggest that to get the most out of this, you might want to take a second here and grab a pen and a piece of paper. As you listen to me read these personality traits, write down or keep track of the number of statements that are true for you. 1. People sometimes say I'm aloof, quiet, and calm, and hard to get to know. 2. I usually think first before talking. I rarely blurt out my thoughts without editing them first in my head. 3. When I work on business or home projects, I like to have large, uninterrupted chunks of time. 4. I write notes to myself before having conversations with people. 5. I notice details that others don't see, such as facial expressions or movements. 6. I can zone out if too much is going on. 7. I often dread returning phone calls. 8. My mind sometimes goes blank when I'm asked a question or caught off guard. 9. Groups of people make me uncomfortable or nervous. 10. I sometimes rehearse things before speaking. 11. In general, I prefer to listen to other people over talking. 12. I have few friends, but they're very close to me. 13. I feel drained after social situations, even when I have a good time. 14. I like to watch a group or activity for a while before I join in. If you answer true for 7 or more of these statements, you most likely lean towards being an introvert. And what if you're an entrepreneur? The statements I just shared take on some new meaning. For example, according to entrepreneurs who attended a series of Improv for Introverts workshops that I co-facilitated, introverts answered the question, "How does being an introvert help you as an entrepreneur?" with the following. I take time to watch others. Being an entrepreneur helps me reflect on my actions. I can deal with being alone better than an extrovert. I'm very observant and tuned into others. I have the ability to creatively listen, extract, and synthesize new concepts. I'm able to focus well. I create a safe space for others. I'm detail-oriented. I am sensitive to individual and group energy. I'm really good at working one-on-one or in small groups. And I consider myself to have high self-awareness. And I have a consistent set of core beliefs in that I'm not easily swayed by outside influences. On the flip side, entrepreneurs shared the following as challenges that their introversion presents. Recruiting clients and selling business is not a delight. I can't get my ideas across without getting tongue-tied. I resist self-promotion. I focus on the minutia. I can be resistant to change. My inner voice or my self-talk can get rather loud. I can be drowned out if I'm not given enough space. I'm harder to get to know or to have people open up to me, so connections take a little longer. Finding balance between alone time and people time can be tricky. I get nervous and I worry too much. I don't always make as strong an initial impression as I would like, and sometimes I get flustered when talking myself up. Did you hear some of yourself in those answers? I know I did. That's one of the reasons I'm passionate about supporting introverts and entrepreneurs. We are in a wonderful position to take our strengths and use them to our advantage to balance out our challenges. For instance, there are ways we can tap into our listening and observing skills to reframe how we approach making connections with others. Another reason why I'm dedicating my business to supporting introverts is because there are a lot of people who don't completely understand what it means to be an introvert. When I learned the real definition, that it was really about how we give and receive energy, I felt like I had literally been set free. I realized a few things. Introverts are not abnormal. We do not have a personality disorder. And most of all, we don't need to be fixed. And I have to admit, I want to take on the stereotype about introverts being shy and antisocial. I want to be part of the movement that takes back our power. And part of the purpose of this show is to include you in that invitation and in that movement. So I hope you'll continue to join me. So after listening to those different descriptions and characteristics of being an introvert, I hope you have a sense of how dominant introversion is for you. If you want to know for sure, I highly encourage you to take an online Myers-Briggs assessment. There are numerous shorter versions of the assessment available for free, or you can pay a fee to take the full assessment and receive an interpretation of the results. And that's something that you can do online, or you can find a Myers-Briggs licensed assessment giver, and they will help you out. So what does all of this mean for us and for this radio show? My intention is to deliver high-quality information and resources, inspiration and advice to help introverts understand, own, and leverage our strengths for success. I want to help you claim your introverted nature. We're going to focus on nurturing your introvert strengths while learning how to cultivate our extroverted side so that we can dial it up or dial it down when we want to. And one thing I want to be crystal clear about, our goal is not to bash extroverts or to say that introversion is better than extroversion, or to try to convert introverts into extroverts. Like I mentioned before, we carry both tendencies within us, and in this show and in everything we talk about, we're going to be honoring both sides. The common thread through all of these shows is a message about understanding and owning your personal power, creating success on your own terms, and trusting and loving yourself for who you are, not necessarily what society thinks you should be. So if all of that sounds good to you, you are not going to want to miss a single episode. Through interviews with introvert experts and introvert entrepreneurs and other people who have wisdom to share and other discussions, we'll talk about the opportunities and challenges that introverts face every day, providing resources, advice, and inspiration for you. We're going to be covering topics in four general categories. Leadership, which will include discussions and interviews about living your vision and values, showing up with authenticity, and being a leader among your peers, as well as being a leader in your communication and demonstrating courage. We'll talk about relationships, covering how you collaborate with others, how to form support networks, and ways to balance your time and energy between your family, your business, and yourself. Of course, we will talk about entrepreneurship, which includes self-promotion and networking, how we define success, moving through fear, uncertainty, and doubt, or the FUDs, F-U-D, being intentional, and finding your voice and goal setting. And lastly, kind of tying it all together, is personal growth. When we talk about personal growth, we will be supporting all of those areas, including showing up with self-confidence, listening to and being aware of our self-talk and how to reframe things, tapping into our personal power, managing your energy, taking care of yourself in all of your parts, including the physical, emotional, spiritual, intellectual, and creative needs that we all have. So my goal for you is that after listening for a while and applying the information and resources that we share, you will feel pride of ownership for your introversion. That means you are ready, willing, and able to make the best of what you've got. You want to nourish it and take care of it. And you understand and own your introverted preferences, and you know how to leverage them for success. Now that we've gotten some background on the show, let's spend our remaining time together talking about a hot topic for everyone, especially introverts: networking. If you're like me, the idea of working a room and making small talk for hours makes you want to skip the entire networking ordeal. Networking has the potential to be an introvert's nightmare, or it can be an enjoyable experience that brings you more business and more connections. Here are some simple ideas to consider for your next networking event. First and foremost, whether or not you're good at or comfortable with networking starts in your head. It's a frame of mind. Depending on your previous experiences or what you've believed about being an introvert, you may have ideas that you're not good at small talk, you don't like talking to strangers, and you don't know what to say when you do end up talking to the strangers. You may also have a general, "I don't like networking" attitude. And in one way or another, all of these attitudes will come through in how you present yourself, even if you don't tell a single soul how uncomfortable you are. This is when I guide my clients into reframing their beliefs about networking. Reframing something does not mean denying the reality. It means putting a different perspective on the thought so that you can work from love instead of fear. This is something you'll hear from me a lot. When we come from a place of love, there's little to no room for fear to have any power. To support that, I've created some affirmations for the introvert networker that I'll share with you at the end of the show. For right now, let's go over a few actions you can take to make networking easier for you. First, know what kinds of networking situations you enjoy. Do you like being with a small group of people, say, 5, 6, 7, or definitely under 20? Do you like large gatherings of 50 or more people where it's a big free-for-all? Do you prefer workshop settings? Do you most likely enjoy something where there's a speaker or a presentation that goes along with the networking? If you're not sure, try a variety of situations to see what's comfortable while still achieving your networking goals. I personally like workshops because it's a mix of like-minded people that are there with potential clients and collaborators. There's a natural focus, so it's easier to make conversation because we can simply talk about what brought us there and our interest in the topic. So pay attention to what kinds of networking situations you enjoy. And when you do that and you commit to them, you're more likely to keep going back. Secondly, set an intention for the event. What do you want to learn? What experience do you want to have? Do you want to make a particular connection with someone that you know will be there? Do you want to practice talking comfortably about your business? Here are a few intentions that I'll offer up that might be useful to you. I want to meet 3 new people and learn about their business. I want to feel calm and centered during the event. I want to practice asking questions and coming from a place of curiosity. I intend to greet everyone with a smile and a confident handshake. I intend to learn how I can help or provide resources to at least 3 other people. So take a moment to set the intention before the event. Think about the experience you want to have, and it'll be more likely that that is exactly what will happen. Third, take care of yourself before the event. If you need to prepare by making sure that you have some alone time, a nap, or some exercise, make sure that you take time in your schedule for that. Do what you know builds up your energy. And on the other side of the event, leave yourself time afterwards to recharge and relax. Try to keep your calendar open and not moving from one event to another. Fourth, during the event, use your natural skills of observation to notice what's going on in the room. Don't feel like you have to walk in and jump right in shaking hands. Sip a beverage and watch the group. Watch others as they interact for clues about how people are working the room. Seek out someone you know to begin priming that conversation pump. And then ask your friend to introduce you to someone she knows, which is easier than having to make a cold introduction. And along those lines, once you do start talking to people, the best conversationalists are those who have a genuine curiosity about other people. Ask questions about the other person's work and interests. Use your powers of observation to look for clues for a conversation, such as an interesting piece of jewelry or tie, or an unusual business name. Notice what seems to light the other person up. It may be his family, or recent travels, or talking about his business. And ask questions that encourage him to talk. You can certainly talk about yourself. The other person may ask you the same types of questions, and you can decide what you're comfortable sharing in the moment. And while you're talking to someone, focus on talking to one person at a time. You may find yourself as part of a small group, and even then, choose to focus on the person talking or asking the question, or the person that you're responding to. Make eye contact with everyone, but don't feel like you have to scan the group the whole time. Use your gifts of making one-on-one connections to your advantage. It can be very flattering to the person you're talking to if you're truly focused on them, rather than scanning the room or looking over their shoulder to see who else is in the room. And my last suggestion is very simple. Be yourself. Don't think that you have to be super outgoing and extroverted to be an effective networker. Show up with your natural curiosity, your sense of humor, and your ability to listen. During the event, preserve your sanity by taking breaks as you need to, by stopping into the restroom or the lounge, slipping out for a quick walk around the block or down the hall, and by choosing to leave when you're ready to leave. Share your energy while it feels good, and then decide when you've had enough. Sometimes going into an event with a predetermined time frame of when you're going to be there can help you do that. So you can say, I'm going to go for 45 minutes, and then I'll see how I feel, and I will feel good leaving at that point if I want to. Then when that 45 minute comes, if you are ready to go, then you leave. And if you're not and you're having a good time, then you stay. So you're giving yourself permission to take care of yourself and what you need. And now for those affirmations. When we are trying to shift how we think about something, it helps to acknowledge through our affirmations that we are at the beginning of our journey. These affirmations use words and phrases that reflect that change is a process. I'm going to share each of these four affirmations twice, so you can either repeat them with me the second time, or have time to write them down, or both. So, here we go. By relaxing and letting my personality shine, I am becoming more comfortable with talking to new people. By relaxing and letting my personality shine, I am becoming more comfortable with talking to new people. I welcome the opportunity to learn more about others while sharing the wonderful gifts that I have to offer. I welcome the opportunity to learn more about others while sharing the wonderful gifts that I have to offer. I am ready for the new connections that come when I show up from a place of curiosity, gratitude, and authenticity. I am ready for the new connections that come when I show up from a place of curiosity, gratitude, and authenticity. I am beginning to appreciate my quiet energy and how it helps me connect with others. I'm beginning to appreciate my quiet energy and how it helps me connect with others. I invite you to use these affirmations or make up your own. The important thing is that you find a way to remind yourself of the unique and fabulous strengths that you bring to the table. One of my favorite affirmations comes from the book Feel the Fear and Do It Anyway by Susan Jeffers. I read this book about 10-12 years ago, and it completely changed the way I thought about fear and my language choices and moving from pain to power. What Jeffers tells us is, and wants us to remember, is that I can handle whatever happens. She shares that one of our biggest fears is that we won't be able to handle or deal with something. And in truth, we can handle anything that comes our way. And I'd like to assure you, you can handle any networking situation. This is Beth Below, the Introvert Entrepreneur. Thank you so much for spending this time with me. I invite you to join me each week for more information and inspiration for introverts who are ready to take the world by storm. For more information or to contact me, please visit theintrovertentrepreneur.com. Thanks for listening, and I look forward to moving onward and upward with you.